Last week we introduced the principles of Malach and Chol HaMoed. Last week we spoke pretty much in theory as to whether Malach and Chol HaMoed is deraisa, whether it's derabanan, some of the possible differences practically. But now we're going to talk a little bit more lemaisa in terms of what kinds of malachas are actually permissible in Chol HaMoed and what kinds of malachas are prohibited in Chol HaMoed. So one of the most famous categories of malachas Chol HaMoed that are permissible is what's called the Dover Aved. And we're afraid one's going to suffer loss of money. So under most circumstances, Dover Aved is going to be permissible. So let's take a look at the beginning of the sugya, try to get a little bit of a better understanding of Dover Aved, because many of the kulas, some justified, some perhaps not so justified, that people involve themselves in terms of work in Chol HaMoed, very often are revolving around some of these principles of Dover Aved. Let's see if we can get the proper understanding of what the basic kulam are all about. So the sugya of Dover Aved begins in the very, very beginning of the Masechta. You can't get past the first line of the Mishnah. The Beis HaMinhas, the Mishnah begins with Mashkin Beis HaShlochim B'Moed. Well, we're not even going to read the rest of the Mishnah. The rest of the Mishnah has, I guess, into some details of something not relevant for us. But the opening Mishnah begins with Mashkin Beis HaShlochim B'Moed. So one is permitted to irrigate fields that need irrigation. One can do this on Chol HaMoed, even though irrigating a field, watering a field, is clearly something that would normally qualify as a malacha. All kind of gardening work and agriculture work, all those things that generally off limits are Chol HaMoed. But Mashkin Beis HaShlochim is permissible. Why is Mashkin Beis HaShlochim permissible? So Rashi explains on the spot, the next to the Ma'am Bekamos, Mashkin Beis HaShlochim B'moed, Sadish Yomedes Behar, V'tzorach Lashkos HaTamid, it's a type of a field that has to get irrigated all the time. Mashkin HaSafil B'chol HaShemoed. So one is permitted to water the field, even Chol HaMoed. The fish you know have said godl eino mashkos, because it's a tremendous loss of money. If a person won't water the field for a couple of days, so all his crops are going to die. Dover shall have said he tira chachamim tzorach b'chol shemayed. Whatever the dover shall have said, a dover ha'aved, Chazal permitted one to do on Chol HaMoed. And Rashi refers back to the sugi that we spoke about last week, k'moshan emotzim maseches chagiga, because if you remember from last week, the Gemara quoted a posuk. The pasuk compares the seventh day to the first 6 days, just as to some degree, just as an issur malacha on the seventh day, which is of course Yom Tov, there's to some degree an issur malacha on the 6 days as well. I might think that just as on the seventh day of Yom Tov, which is a real Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do any malacha, so too in Chol HaMoed you can't do anything. Tamalam HaShvi, now the pasuk also says the seventh day, Shvi Atzur B'chol Malacha, the seventh day is off limits, the Ein Shish Atzur B'chol Malacha, whereas the first 6 days, I mean after the first day, is regularly Yom Tov, but the middle days are not prohibited all malachas. Now we're having in a sense contradictory drushes. One part of the pasuk is teaching us that there is an issur malacha on Chol HaMoed. The other part of the pasuk is telling us there's no issur malacha on Chol HaMoed. What's the answer? So the answer is, as we said last week, Lamasan Akasav El Chacham, that the Chachamim are the ones who convey, they establish the following rules about Chol HaMoed. Lom Lecha Eizem Malacha Asura B'chol Shemar V'Eizem Uteres, which malachas are prohibited, which are permissible. And basically the rule is, Malacha Sheish B'Hepsin V'Ena Ososa, Kol Mahashkiz V'Sashmach V'Tiru Chachamim. The example par excellence of a malacha that was singled out as permissible in Chol HaMoed is Dover Aved, the illustration being the first Mishnah by Kotter. So the basic rule is clear that no matter what you hold about Chol HaMoed, whether Chol HaMoed is deraisa, derabanan, all of last week's shiur, it doesn't matter. If it's a Dover Aved, so it's going to be permissible. Why exactly is Dover Aved permissible? So last week we said the Alper, the Ritva, but I think we'll put it on the Ma'amar Kamos, see it the Mechsav also. The Ritva is a very important comment in the next of the Ma'amar Kamos, in Mo'ekotin Dat Yud Gimel. Why is it that Dover Aved is permissible? Says the Ritva, Kitam is the Malachas B'Moed, Mishum Tircha, Mishum Olamayit, B'Simchas HaRegel. Why is it that one is not allowed to do Malacha and Chol HaMoed in the first place? Because it detracts from the celebration of the Yom Tov. The Torah wants us to do the Simcha on Chol HaMoed. We're supposed to go to the Beis HaMikdash, bring karbanos, celebrate with our families. If a person is going to be doing his regular routine, regular work, that's going to interfere with the proper celebration of Simchas HaChag. Ulefikach itiru chachamim koshu tzorach HaMoed, koshu dover aved, kedei shlo yedoeg al avedoso v'nimna misimchas Yom Tov. Therefore, the Ritva says it makes sense to permit dover aved, because if you're not going to permit Dover Aved, it's going to have the opposite effect. The whole goal of refraining from Malach and Chol HaMoed is to enhance Simchas Yom Tov. So you're going to tell the guy, oh, by the way, your $100,000 of crops are about to get ruined, but just keep on enjoying Yom Tov. So in order to prevent that from happening, Chazal permitted the whatever is a davar of it. That's part of the reason why Tzorech HaMoed is also permissible. You're allowed to do certain things. Well, maybe we'll talk about that in the future shirim. But certain Tzorechei HaMoed are permissible. Why is that? Obviously, it's also to enhance the Simchas Hayom. So the goal of the Yisra Malach and Chol HaMoed is different than the Yisra Malach and Shabbos, let's say, and Yom Tov. On Shabbos, there's 39 malachas. It doesn't matter whether you can have a more enjoyable day, less enjoyable day. Sometimes you have people who are not yet Shabbat Torah mitzvahs, and they say, well, Shabbos is supposed to be a day of rest, so why can't I play golf? And the answer is that the goal of Shabbos is not to play golf. The goal of Shabbos is not necessarily to enjoy. There's a mitzvah in Shabbos, and this covered Shabbos. We want you to enjoy Shabbos. But the bottom line is, losatka malacha, zechon my separations, that's it. There's an issur malacha on Yom Tov. Whether or not those issurim enhance your simchas Yom Tov or detract the simchas Yom Tov, that's irrelevant to the discussion. There's an issur malacha in and of itself. Whereas the whole nature, the whole essence of the issur malacha on Chol HaMoed is geared towards enhancing simchas Yom Tov. And therefore, when the issur malacha will goof it, interfere with simchas Yom Tov, so then we can begin to negotiate it becoming permissible.
Other than saying that, what's the marker for making that, the difference between a chag?
Oh, very good. So the Ritva is really working in a sense backwards. The Ritva is saying, well, we have this very strange principle called Davra Oved. Where did it come from? Shabbos has no such thing as Davra Oved. A guy's sitting and somebody tells him that his fields, his crops are dying. Tough. What can you do? And Yom Tov, his crops are dying. Can't do anything about it. But Chol HaMoed, we know the facts are that it's mutter. So the Ritva is trying to figure out, well, where does that come from? Why should there be such a halacha? So the Ritva is suggesting that maybe that's where it comes from. There's a little bit also to a throwback, what we mentioned quickly at the end of the show last week, that there's some who suggest that, you know, if you look at the Chumash explicitly, the Torah never says not to do malacha on Chol HaMoed. The Torah says explicitly not to do malacha on Shabbos, not to malacha on the first and the seventh day, the days of Yom Tov. Chol HaMoed doesn't speak about. But the Torah does describe Chol HaMoed as being days of Simcha. That's the thrust of the Sukkah. Mismachtel, Hashem Lekeichem, Shem Yomim, Mismachtel, Lechegecha. So it could be that the whole model, Min HaTorah of Chol HaMoed, are really days of Chagiga, days of Simcha, days of celebration, which would begin to make sense that any Yisra Malacha that's involved is really because it detracts from that theme of Simcha, which is clearly stated in the Chumash. So maybe it's a combination of those factors that led the Ritva to this conclusion.
So it sounds like the Torah was Mitzavet Simcha, and the Rabbanim defined Simcha.
Okay, so that's throwback also last week. So according to some Rishonim, the whole Malachas Chol HaMoed is the Rabbanim. It means Min HaTorah, Chol HaMoed is not a Simcha, it's a time of Chagiga, it's a time of Aliyah Regel. But it's not a...
It could be a Deraisa, and Chacham and
Masbir... Masbir, what is that? That was the Machlekes last week about is the Issa Malachas Chol HaMoed ultimately an Issa Rabbanim that was instituted to preserve Simcha, or is it ultimately an Issa Deraisa that the Torah gave the Chachamim in a certain degree of leeway to define what the details of are, the eyes via towards Simchas Hayom. But the bottom line is, this is the lumdus at least that the Ritva gives, and we're going to work with that lumdus at least for now. But the real question we have to ask ourselves is, practically speaking, what is called Davar Oved and what not? So the Mishnayot give you a few examples here and there, but we have to try to develop a little bit more in terms of absolute principles to be able to extrapolate to more modern cases. Most of us are not irrigating our fields on Chol HaMoed, but we have a lot of other Davar Oved shahs that do come up. So there is a Gemara on the top of the back of the Mar Mekomos, on Mar Mekomos, Dakid Aleph of an Aleph. But the Gemara tells us a story that these little boy Kavrit, I'll question what exactly those words mean, but at least according to some Rishonim, it's referring to a name of a place where the river overflowed in that place. Ozukuliyama Tsud, Aisu Kavri. So everybody ran on Chol HaMoed to go, they heard the rivers overflowing, there were fish floating around in the streets, there was a big, significant, you can make a lot of money collecting all the fish. So everyone went to go collect the fish on Chol HaMoed. Sholu Rava Lemimlach Minayu. So Rava permitted the people to preserve the fish, they had to salt the fish, and otherwise they would leave the fish sitting around, they couldn't eat all the fish at the time, there was so much, so Rava permitted them to salt extra fish. So Abai asked him, Batanan, Kvashin Shu Yochel Lechom Eben Mohi Kovshan? So Abai asked him, wait a second, what gives you the right to prepare, to start to salt, to preserve this fish? The Gemara tells us that anything that's necessary to eat on Chol HaMoed, or anything you need for the last days, that you're permitted to do, but you're not allowed to just stop unnecessary cooking, unnecessary food preparation, which is not going to be used b'chlau for Yom Tov, that you're not allowed to do. Let's say a caterer is planning a job for the week after Yom Tov. He's not allowed to start cooking and preparing everything. Remember once somebody asked Mishaila, it was the last day of Pesach was Thursday, and they were having a bar mitzvah, that Shabbos. So the wife wanted to cook all the food on Chol Moed. I guess all those people who wanted to make the Kashrut Pesach food after Pesach was over. So she wanted to do a lot of the cooking and stuff on Chol Moed. That's also, because normally we think, what could be wrong with cooking on Chol Moed? Nothing. If you're doing it for Chol Moed, if you're doing it for the last days, then it's okay. If you're doing it for afterwards, that's a problem. Reb Kivege, even as a very, very long Shoshana, Reb Kivege is a Shaila, how can you cook on Chol Moed for the last day of Yom Tov, for Chutzlaretz? Because if you think about it, we observe the last day of Yom Tov as a Sveika Diyoma, Chutzlaretz, or a Safek, or you know, a make-believe Safek, whatever the case is. We treat it as a Sveika Diyoma. So how can you turn around and be makil to call it Yom Tov? Maybe we should be machmir in both ends and say, maybe the 8th day Pesach is not really Yom Tov anymore. So when I'm cooking on the last day of Chol Moed, preparing my food for the last day of Pesach, so maybe that's considered to be cooking for after Yom Tov. So for whatever reason, there's an answer to that question. Nobody said Lamaisa Tzalser. But Rabbi Kivege had to stand over, try to figure out, and have to knock our heads against the wall to figure out why that's mutter. But stop to prepare food for after Yom Tov, that's clearly also. So the truth is that even though you're right that the guidelines are that our eyes are geared towards Simcha, but at the end of the day, Chazal did set up certain specific categories, and the specific categories are such that even though it's me personally going to make happy, but at the end of the day, if you tell everybody that they can cook for after Yom Tov, so then all the caterers are going to be working, and they're not going to be mesamech on Yom Tov. All the housewives are going to be preparing for the next 6 weeks, and they're not going to be happy on Yom Tov. So again, it's each case, the Masar calls Malach HaChamim. So comes the Gemara back to the story of the fish, and trying to figure out, what's the story, what can we salvage with all this extra fish? So the Gemara says it's okay. Amar lo kevan d'mikra d'ayta d'achilai sinu v'shavik l'upasnei kipak matya avadomi v'shari. So Rav explained to him that it's not so bad because since they collected all the fish, they thought they were going to eat all the fish, and then they realized they weren't. So now, if they don't end up salting the fish is going to get ruined. That's considered like a davar avad. It's like irrigating the field, and basically it's permissible. So at the end of the day, the Gemara saved the fish and said the fish were considered to be a davar avad. So the Rishayim points out that why did the Gemara just say, very simple, why did the Gemara have to even dray a cup about, is it a davar avad, not a davar avad? Obviously, if they're going to prepare all this extra fish, eventually they'll be able to sell the fish, they'll be able to make money off this fish. So why isn't that per se considered to be a davar avad? Just the fact that if I don't go and collect all this fish right now, so then I'm not going to make all this extra money. So here a great business opportunity comes my way. I have the opportunity to make a lot of money in the fish business. And I'm going to say, no, I can't do it because it's Chol Moed, I can't work. Why isn't that called a davar avad? So come to Rishonim and say, you see from this Gemara, from other Makaros, that there is a fundamental difference between what's called a davar avad in contrast to what's called Menias HaRevach. Menias HaRevach means that I'm not going to gain money in the future. That's not called a davar avad. A davar avad means I have something, it's in my property already, and now I'm about to experience a loss. Say, for example, I have a field. I planted my crops, the crops are growing, 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 now it's not raining. If I don't irrigate the crops, so the crops are going to die, that's called a davar avad. The fact that I'm losing the opportunity to make more money in the future, that's not called a davar avad, that's called the menias harevach. And you see from this Gemara that l'chora there's no hetter for that on Chol Moed. So if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, Hinuchas Chol Moed in Siman Tov Kuf Lamed Tesef Dalet, so the Shulchan Aruch spells this idea out. In Yesh Lo Schora, if a person has some kind of merchandise he wants to sell, She'im Lo Yimkerena Ata Yafsid Mehakeren Mutul Lemochra. If he doesn't sell this item right now, so he's going to lose money. He's going to lose something from the actual worth of the keren. Keren meaning the basic principal value. And davar avad is mutter, even though the Gemara says that doing all kinds of business on Chol Moed is a problem. But again, it's not going to be any more chomer than other malachas on Chol Moed, which are governed by the heter of davar avad. So if he's afraid he's going to lose from the principle, that's davar avad, that's okay. Avalim lo yafsid me'akeren lo. What if a person is not going to lose from the principle? So then it's a problem. He can make a good deal. He could sell it for a lot more money now. Who knows what's going to be next week? No, that's called the menias harevach. And there's no heter to do menias harevach on Chol Moed. But what a person could do is as follows. Let's say he's got a good business deal. He really, really wants to sell this item right now. If he doesn't sell it now, he's not going to lose money. On the other hand, he's going to lose the opportunity to gain money. So come to Shulchan Aruch, he quotes from Yerushalmi that says that what if you make the following cheshbon? That extra money that I'm going to make from selling this item, I'm going to designate that money for yontif needs. I'm going to get myself a little bit more food on yontif. I'll buy myself a little bit fancier clothes or whatever for yontif. I'll use, go above and beyond, and I'll use that money for yontif needs, so that's okay. Why? Because then, in effect, what I just did is, I turned the business deal into Tzorech Hayom. I'm making that business deal into Tzorech Yontif, and that's okay. So comes the Ramon and says, V'nirali, Shalom Nemru Dvar Malalu, El B'mishli Yesh Tomos Mu'otim, V'chas Aleim Elohotzi Kokach L'Simchas Yontif. So comes the Ramon and says, that it would appear that this kula of saying that I'm going to take all the extra money and use it for the mitzvah Simchas Yontif, that's talking about a person who otherwise doesn't really have enough money for Yontif. So the guy barely, the kosher, has enough food to put on the table for Yontif. If he makes this great deal, then he'll have a real simple Yontif. The ilu ha'ilu most brevach ha'emotzi yoseh. Aval mi sheyesh to most brevach ha'otzi simple Yontif. Kechol asher yis'aveh. He has whatever he wants. You plug in what that means. He's got plenty to go around. To ein b'dayta l'hotzi kokach, l'nata l'olimka v'deshi yotzi yoseh. So the guy's going to come with a kunz. He's going to say, well, let me go make the extra dollars, because I'm going to take that extra money and use it for yontif needs. So we turn around to say to him, mister, if you're so firm and you're going to use it, you have plenty of money in the bank for your yontif needs. So who are you kidding? So you're just going to make a couple extra dollars. So if it's a legitimate use of the funds, the profits for yontif needs, then only then it's going to be mutar. Again, the basic halacha stands, davar aved is permissible. Benias haravach, just to try to get an extra profit is prohibited. The only time getting the extra profit it would be permissible is if the person does it in such a way that it realistically becomes transformed into yontif needs. But then the Shulchan Aruch in Sifhei quotes a little bit of a different story, also based on Yerushalmi. What if an opportunity comes up on Chol Hamoed that's very unlikely to happen after Yontif? Says all of a sudden he's in the middle of celebrating Chol Hamoed with his family, and he hears there's a whole boats just came to town, and the whole caravan just came to town. There's a tremendous deals that are taking place. Oshem Evakshim Lotzeis, or the caravans and the boats are all of a sudden getting ready to leave, and he's got merchandise, and he thought he'd be able to wait till after Yontif. He's not going to be able to wait till after Yontif. They're leaving now, and if he waits till after Yontif, who knows when the next boat's going to come. So if you have a situation which is somewhat of an out of the ordinary event, Dovish Eno Motzli, Ubachra Bezol, a local biyoker, and they're willing to sell at the cheap prices, or they're willing to buy his stuff for, at better prices, Mutaliknos Volimka Firushlotzach Tashmisho, Elasas Choralistaker. So it comes to Shulchan Aruch and quotes from the Yerushalmi that that's permissible. If it's something which is considered to be a very, very unique, kind of out of the ordinary situation, so that's kind of like a davar aved. That opportunity is going to be lost. It's not going to happen again. But then he says, what do you read them? Akvum is Mount Lezman. He says, the Ramah says, if you have certain town fairs, v'makom sheish tam yom ha-shuk yom echad v'shavua, ein amut olim kov liknos b'yom ha-shuk shemesoch ha-moed, she'ein ze dover aved. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and continues, but what if you have a place where there's a regular market day? Every Tuesday there's a sale. It happens to be Chol Hamoed. I want to go shopping now. Why do I want to go shopping now? Because I'm off. I have plenty of time to go shopping. It's a Tuesday sale. It'll be next Tuesday, it'll be the same sale. So that's not called the Dover of it. That's a joke. That's a pratmasi. That's a business. That's buying and selling. That's not Letzorech Hayom. If you take a need at Letzorech Hayom, you want to go buy some nice clothes for the last day on Tiv, you want to go buy food, that's perfectly okay. Any buying and selling Letzorech Hayom is permissible. But if you want to just stand by something because it's on sale, if the sale will be around next week, so l'chora, that's not a justified Dover of it. Again, even within Dover of it, the lines become very, very fine to figure out what exactly is a Dover of it and what's not. So generally the rule is that it has to be Dover Nifsa Mea Karen, something that you're really losing from the principle itself. However, if it's not, but it can be kind of revamped as being adding to your yontif needs, that would be permissible. That was the first din in the Shulchan Aruch. Then the second din in the Shulchan Aruch, based on Yerushalmi, is that if it's something which is a very, very out of the ordinary up to, it's not going to come back next week. It's not going to come back for who knows when. So that's considered to be also a quasi-dover of it. I've told over the story several times about the humorous application, the Zman HaZev, dover of it. We used to get the shayla fairly often from the young couples. Sometimes, you know, couples struggling a little bit making ends meet. They live in Washington Heights, for argument's sake. And then they go to the parents for Yom Tov. So they go out to California, like we used to, other places. They go spend Yom Tov with their parents. So what happens? So they very often they come right before Yom Tov. There's no time to go shopping then. And they very often have to go right back the day after Yom Tov. There's no time to go shopping then. When's a good time to go shopping? It's a good time. It's a wonderful time. So what happens? You have the young wife, who sometimes their little baby's tagging along. So the mother says, come, I'll take you shopping, I'll help you out a little bit. Now's a good opportunity to go. So I've got Yishayla many, many times. Is that called the Dover of it or not? Is that a type of shopping that's supposed to or not? So they're not going to use this stuff. It's that the argument's sake, they're going shopping Sukkot, so we'll get a big sale on winter clothes. In California, probably not the best place to go. Okay, we'll get a big sale on summer clothes, whatever it is. So I'm going to take you shopping on Cholomon. That's a Dover of it? What's the Dover of it? So the sale is going to be around next week. So it could be it's still called the Dover of it. Why? Because even though in theory I can go back to New York and get the clothes in New York, it's a Dover of it, and please don't take this out of context in a bad way, but I only have my mother's credit card on Chol HaMoed, so it's going to be a very big Dover of it. It's going to be a Dover of it for everybody. So maybe one could argue that from the vantage point of the girl who wants to go shopping now, it's a Dover of it. Right now the mother's helping her, and 6 months from now, who knows? You're there, my yellow gem, what's going to happen? So maybe that's also called the Shtickle Dover of it. So maybe we can extend the Dover of it a little bit.
How about it was
Efshar
to do it before?
Oh, we're going to get there. Okay, we're going to get to it. It's called Mechavim Malachta B'moed. It's going to be the end of the
Sugya. And
that's
what you know
for
the
Mother's Day. Simcha for Chagim. Oh, Kavala, okay. I'm not sure. Everyone's getting Simcha. Everybody's happy. Okay. Things have to pass in the Shas myself sometimes also. Then the Shulchan Aruch continues in the next of the Ma'amar Kavos, and he extends, everyone's happy until the bill comes. And then the Shulchan Aruch continues with a further extension of the principle of Dover of it. So Shulchan Aruch and Uchus Chol HaMoed and Siman Tov Kuf Lamed Tes Yud Gimel discuss the following: Lahalvos the Kusi Beribis. Am I allowed to lend money on Chol HaMoed? So lending money. Who's making money for lending money? That's ribis. I'm lending money to a non-Jew. That's perfectly okay. So Shailas on Chol HaMoed. Can I keep my money lending business open? Is that considered to be a Dover of it? So again, usually we say that any kind of business dealings is a problem on Chol HaMoed unless we can stick it under the category of Dover of it. So actually the Rishonim who discussed this, one of the Rishonim who discussed this was Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam actually was a money lender. That was what he did. A lot of Jews in the Middle Ages were money lenders for very simple reasons. That the Goyim didn't let them own land, and the Goyim didn't let them work any crafts, and there was very, very little left to do. So it served a dual purpose, because it gave the Jews the parnasa, and the non-Jews liked it also, because according to their rules, they weren't allowed to take ribbons from each other either. So they read Shan the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, you're not allowed to lend money to ribbons to your brother, but you're allowed to lend money to a stranger. So Lashitasam, they translated the Bible as saying they were the brothers and the Jews were the strangers. So they held that you're allowed to have ribbis between Jews and Goyim. That's what they used to do. So John wanted to lend money to Paul, so he would lend it first to Yaakov in the middle, and then Yaakov would make a little bit more of a commission. That was pretty much how business went in the Middle Ages. So Rabbeinu Tam, people think Rabbeinu Tam, all he did all day was sit around with Tzvon and write places him. He had to make panos also. So his panos was he was a money lender. So Rabbeinu Tam discusses in Maikata about can you lend the money on Chol HaMoed. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the following kula for this particular part of the kula from the Rush. That the Rush claims that if you want to lend money to a non-Jew, beribis, but also b'shugim luvos b'menu, mutu b'shuv d'avi davar avid. He says, let's say I have customers. I've been lending money to these non-Jews for the last 6 months. So now he's going to come knock on my door on Chol HaMoed for a loan. I'm going to say, sorry, I'm closed this week. So what's going to happen? He's going to go find another Jew who's not Sofrim. The other Jew asks his rabbi. The rabbi says, okay. And then he's going to lend him the money. And then he's going to realize, oh, the other Jew gave him a better rate. He doesn't have to bother coming back to me. He never knows. He never knows when I'm open again. So he'll stop coming to me. So the Rush is mechadish that idea that a loss of a customer is called the Dover of it. I had the customer. Okay, it's an extension of Dover of it. Dover of it usually means I had the crops. Now the crops died. Here, I had the customer. He's been my customer for the last 6 months. I'm potentially going to lose that customer. That's called a Dover of it. But what if a non-Jew comes? I never had him as a customer before. Stop. A stranger walks in and he wants to borrow money. So that's not a Dover of it. So then the Rush says, that's a problem. Then I'm doing business. That's called just to get revach, just to get extra profit. Getting profit is not permissible. Unless you restructure it as follows. Well, osam she'ainu regidim lovos gamtein mutter, hu she'yichu ribish ha'shavua rishon v'yotzeinu b'simchas yontif. The old story that we said before, that if you have something which is not really a davar ofid, it's really getting a revach, getting a profit, but if you take that profit and use it for simchas yontif, then technically the Rishami says that that would be okay. So you have to take the first week of interest, whatever days of cholamoid interest would be, you have to use that for simchas yontif. So then the Mishnah Berurah on the next page points out that if you take the second line of Mishnah Berurah, "Vazeh afilu be'ofen amavur b'sevdal l'hachmik amish yesh l'mos b'revach ayin shav hachashari." So says the Mishnah Berurah, even though when it came to that heter of the Yerushalmi of just taking the money and using it for simchas yontif and calling a day, we weren't so happy with that. We only did that in a situation where you were really weren't doing so well and you really honest to goodness needed the money. So here the Mishnah Berurah says you don't have to be so needy. Here, even if you have enough money for yontif, you can spend a little bit more, it's okay. Why are we more making on the case of the money lending? Because we're not even sure that money lending is also on Chol HaMoed altogether. The Gemara says that pragmatia is also on Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to do business on Chol HaMoed. So some Mishnah said, lending money is not our business. Lending money is a simple thing. I give you $10,000, you give me back $12,000, whatever it is. That's not such a complicated business. But Chazal spoke about not doing business. That meant the pragmatia, the awesome yesh torach gadol b'diktuk shiri hamekach. The person has to figure out how much the item is worth, and you got to go evaluate it. Mutach terdasa yibne misim chizyontif. The gamble for abim yikne b'yokev yitztayer. You may end up doing a bad business deal. So that's why you shouldn't do those things on cholamoid. Mashen kin b'halva. According to many, we shown him lending money. Just I'm a lender, and I set up an interest rate and show him and call it a day. So that's het gomer on cholamoid. So we try not to rely on that. We only lend money on cholamoid in a situation where it's already for a pre-existing customer. We don't want to rely on that kula outright. But if it's, again, if it's a pre-existing customer, then it's a davar ovid. If it's not a pre-existing customer, it's not a davar ovid, we'll let you do it if you spend the money to buy yontif needs. And we're not going to be so machmir on the definition of what's called the yontif needs. So kopanim, here we already have another extension of the Rishonim as the davar ovid. So we started out with a very, very limited definition of davar ovid. Guy's crops are dying and he wants to water the field, that's the Mishnah. So then the Rishonim extended it to situations where it's a once in a blue moon kind of a business opportunity, maybe it's also a davar ovid. Here the Rosh is extending it to loss of theoretical, of kind of an abstract, of a customer, rather than an actual loss of money per se, is also called a davar ovid. But there's one thing that puts the brakes on davar ovid. Up to now we've been extending it, now we come to limit it. Comes the Mishnah in the last day of Mamakamos and tells us that Machnis Adam Peroso Vinaganovim, the person has his fruit out in the field, he's afraid that someone's going to steal it. So that's okay. To prevent something from getting stolen, that's a davar ovid. Remember, I once had a shaila on my car. Once, years ago, I had a problem with the lock on the car. And I leave my, I still lived in Riverdale, car was on the, sitting on the street, and it wasn't locked properly. And I realized it right before Yom Tov. So the shaila is, you know, the whole week, you leave it on the street the whole week, it's like a shash of the car getting stolen. So Mikra, the post can say, that's this Mishnah. Machnas Adam Peroso V'Daganovim. You're allowed to do certain kinds of malachas to prevent things from getting stolen. So you're allowed to get, allowed to let somebody go and fix the car. You can bring the mechanic back to get the, to fix the lock on the car, because that's considered like a davar ovid. And then v'shola pishtonim in a mishra b'shushlo tevad, if a person has his flax that's sitting and soaking and he's got to get it out, he's afraid it's going to get lost, it's going to get ruined, it's also okay. But here the Mishnah says, ubuvach le'yichav in es malachta b'moei. What you're not allowed to do is to plan a davar ovid. It means I know full well that I could collect this, take the fruit in before yontif, but I don't bother doing it. Why? I don't have to bother doing it now. I'd rather do it in 2 days from now and have a little bit more time. I'll do it on Chol HaMoed. That's what's called Mechave Malachta B'Moed. Mechave Malachta B'Moed is a problem. The Kula Nim Kivnu Malachta B'Moed Yavedu. If a person went ahead and violated the din and now set up a situation where now he comes in crying into Davar Ovid, then we say tough. Then you have to lose it. Then you can't collect the fruit. We will not permit you to rely on the Kula of Davar Ovid because you took advantage of the Kula of Davar Ovid. You were Mechave Malachta B'Moed. So that's the din. Mechave Malachta B'Moed is a problem. There is a famous shayla that the contemporary poskim discuss about a possible application of quasi davar ovid, quasi mechav malachta b'moed, one of the more common scenarios that plays out in terms of Achas Chol HaMoed. But you have a situation where a person has a job, and his job is such that the boss says to him, listen, if you don't come to work at Chol HaMoed, so you're fired. extreme, you know, whether he could say that to him legal or not, I can't tell you. But let's say it's clear that his boss says, if you don't show up for 4 days this week, don't bother coming back after your holiday's over. So what's the din? Post can say, that's mamsha dover of it. Madach, the rush was willing to be makil, that a dover of it is a loss of a theoretical customer. So kavachom, if I have the job. So the job is not a tangible item. The rush told us already. If dover of it doesn't have to be tangible, that's also called a dover of it. So the guy is really afraid that he's going to lose the job. That's for sure considered to be a dover of it. What if the boss says to him, you're not going to lose the job, don't worry about it, you have the job next week also, but let me tell you something, I'm not paying you for the next 4 days. So now what's the din? Is that called a dover of it? So a person's initial reaction is, it's a dover of it, I'm going to lose 4 days of work. It's not a dover of it. You don't have the money yet, you're not losing anything, you're not making money in the future. So not making money in the future, that was a fish story in the Gemara. That's not called a dover of it, that's called, you got to take the loss. I can't say the loss, that's a loss. You're not making the profit, which is exactly what the halacha says. You're not allowed to make the profit. So liyatsuya, those are the two extremes. The person who's going to lose the job, so that's called a davar avid. The person who's merely going to lose 4 days of salary, so presumably that's not called a davar avid. But very often you have somewhere, makes it a little bit more complicated. The person has X amount of vacation days. The question becomes, how is he supposed to cheshbon out in terms of his vacation days? Can he make the following? Can he make the following situation? He knows he has 2 weeks of vacation. Is he mechuyev to take those vacation days? Can knock off all of Pesach and all of it? Is he mechuyev to take those days on those days? Or maybe he could say the following: It's July right now. July, the kids are usually in camp. So August, kids are home from camp. I want to take a vacation. I want to take a vacation in August with my family. So I'm going to use up all my vacation days now. And I know Sukkot is a month and a half from now. I'm going to come to my boss at Erev Sukkot. I'm going to say to him, listen, I don't have any more vacation days in the bank. Now what happens? So the boss is going to say, you don't have any more vacation days, you better show up to work. If you don't, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to lose, you're going to have fire, whatever the situation. You get demoted, whatever it is. So am I allowed to go on vacation in July, knowing full well that my going on vacation is going to create a situation of a davar avid in a month from now? Is that a violation of mechavi malachta b'moed or not? That's a shaila. So Rav Moshe was making the shaila. Rav Moshe held that that's not called mechavi malachta b'moed. Why? So if you look at the Lashon, I didn't put it on the Rambam, but the Lashon Rambam, when he quotes the din of mechavi malachta b'moed, so the Rambam writes that the guy plans on doing the work on Chol HaMoed. That's his goal. Because he knows he's got a lot of time on Chol HaMoed, so he's planning to collect his fruit from the Ganav, he's planning to take his flax out of the water, he's planning to irrigate his field. The whole Cheshbon is working around Yom Tov. That's called Mechav Malachto HaMoed. Moshe says, what if a person is quote-unquote Mechav Malachto, but not because he's trying to disgrace Yom Tov, not because he's taking Yom Tov lightly, is that it's a simple Cheshbon, it makes more sense to go on vacation in August. The kids are off from camp, they're off from school, they're running around, you're running around anyway, might as well take them away somewhere. But Moshe says you have a very legitimate cheshbon. And not because I'm treating Yom Tov lightly. I'd love to be off on Yom Tov, but practically speaking, it makes more sense for me to go on vacation now. So comes and Moshe says, that's not called Mechav Malachta B'moed. So the person can go on vacation doesn't feel bad about it, go on vacation in August, and then next month when Sukkot rolls around, and he comes to the boss and says, Gevalt, and no days left in the bank. So comes the Moshe says, at that point it's a davar of it, then it becomes permissible. So Moshe says, what if it's the following cheshbon? What if it's Sukkot, and it's Pesach, and I got plenty of vacation days in the bank, but I make the following cheshbon. If I take my vacation days now, then I won't have any days left in the future. So right now the boss says, you do whatever you want. You're not getting fired, you're not going to lose a penny of work. It's your decision right now what to do. So Moshe says, that's not a davar of it. But Kum Tzukis, it's not a davar of it. Right now I'm not losing anything. So right now, I have to take my vacation days now. I won't have vacation in August. I have to deal with the kids running around in August. That's not it. So Moshe says, you have to chesh, not your vacation. You got to think it through. You can go to work in Chol HaMoed based on the fact that you're going to otherwise lose. And there's assuming that you're going to lose. If the only cheshbon is you're not going to get paid, that's not called a davar of it. Even the niyach that you're going to lose, so if it's a davar of it now, then it's okay. If it's not a davar of it now, then it's a problem. But you're allowed to set up this quote-unquote davar of it, the Moshe was naked, you're allowed to do that. Others were more machmir, even in the Moshe, Shlomo Zalman thought that, why is that called davar of it? The whole cheshbon is not right. Says the Shlomo Zalman, part of a person, Shema Torah Mitzvah, is that you have to tell your boss up front, I need days off for Shabbos, I need days off for Yom Tov, I need days off for Chol Hamoed, and you're not going to pay me, you're not going to pay me. So he won't pay, he won't pay you. The same way a person wouldn't dream Shabbos and Yom Tov, kind of going to work on Shabbos, can't work on Saturday. So if you can't work on Shabbos, you can't work on Chol Hamoed. If it's mamash going to lose your whole job, then that is another of it. But just making these kinds of chesbonos or vacation days, or someone's amdan and bonded this whole thing, person has to do whatever he can not to work in Chol Hamoed. But Moshe was the maker of the two. I think that the elements make like a halavai, but only make like a Moshe. Halavai, halavai. So again, when it comes to days off from work, so basically the cheshbon is as follows. When it comes to Chol Hamoed, if there's a real bona fide davar of it, that is permissible. If it's not a bona fide davar of it, it's just a question of losing profit, so then one is really supposed to not work in Chol Hamoed, unless they have a job that's justified to be doing a Chol Hamoed. There are certain jobs that are justified to be doing a Chol Hamoed. So we'll talk about that next week. Things that involve tzorchei aguf for people, some medical fields, other fields. So maybe those kinds of jobs are permissible. Other kinds of related, mitzvah-related kinds of works may be permissible. People will run certain organizations and certain mosques and things that if people don't show up for work, so it's going to affect the tzorchei mitzvah and tzorchei rabbim. It's going to be a whole different ballgame. So again, case-by-case basis. But just down the idea that we want to work with Gam and Chol Hamoed, because if I don't work, I'm not going to get paid. That's not called a davar of it. If you don't work and you're going to lose something, that's called a davar of it. So again, it's case by case as to when a person would be permitted to go to work, his regular routine in Chol Hamoed or not.
You can't lend money on Chol Hamoed. You can deposit a check and interest bearing account on Chol Hamoed.
Can you deposit a check? Again, according to those who Sharon will say, they're just simple kinds of transactions. You don't need such great chokhma. That's not a malach altogether. So according to that, it's a problem of signing, because we only permit writing on Chol Hamoed. Only if it's the Tzorech Hayom. Everything was signed. It's just a question of sticking into the going to the ATM, and sticking interest.
Today, basically, lending money to make this very much.
So again, according to those who Shonim who say that Havol is a stambo, because that's not called pragmatia, that would be mutzik. According to those who say not, no. Usually, if I ever have to, usually it's not so much the depositing money in Chol Hamoed. It's the problem of taking out the money in Chol Hamoed. So the taking out the money in Chol Hamoed, I need it for Chol Hamoed. That's okay. But what I always try to do is not to print out the receipt if I don't have to. Because printing out a receipt is stam kosev, shlotzav, whatever. I know how much money I have in there. So whatever it is, I'm off $5,000 here than I make a break yantif. So unnecessary writing should try to be avoided in Chol Hamoed. Unnecessary printing, all that kind of stuff. I'll talk about that maybe a little bit more next week.